janefinch.com.
It's your girl Butterfly, and I'm with Julio, who is running for NDP. How are you today?
Doing okay. What about you?
Well, I'm well. So it's exciting time, 2011, with federal and then provincial coming around the corner and just coming out of city. So it's exciting time in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Well, it depends what you call exciting, but it's a good time in terms of the people to have a chance to vote or to participate politically, mm-hmm. something that the communities in general don't do during no elections time, something that we need to start cultivating the civic society.
Absolutely.
To be able to start arranging and demand their rights to vote, to participate, and accountability from their politician they elect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So before we get into the questions,
yeah.
do you mind sharing with our viewers a little bit about who you are and what you've been doing? You're definitely somebody I've seen over a span of time in the community. Let our viewers know a little bit about you.
I came from Latin America, Uruguay, and as a political refugee in the 70s. From that time, I participated politically in Canada, supporting the movement in Uruguay and all Latin America because of the dictatorship there. And after, in around 95, 96, I started getting involved politically here in Canada because I realized that the ethnic groups do not have representation, mm-hmm. Particularly in this area, only Italians or some other groups have representation or power to demand, but the rest of the people, we need to have a political umbrella, because for more than we demand things, that things or demand some changes, that changes will not happen unless we take political power. And that's one of the reality that we have many problems. There are magnificent groups here, Jane on the Move, the community center, JaneandFinch.com, and the groups around. But at the end of the day, until politically we get involved and participate and control our destiny, things will not change.
You just referenced quite a few of the grassroots groups in the Jane Finch area. So what do you think community or some of these tables that you've been sitting at, what do you think that they think about you?
Well, the reality is, in the media, most of the groups seeing the politicians as somebody that come and participate just to get a vote. Mm-hmm. I try to engage people during the period that there is no elections, but during the elections, obviously, you need to engage the people to come and vote. That is a reality that we need to change. It's very hard for somebody that consider a political element very important in the life of everybody to try to convince people that it's not for me personal, but for the better of all the community. And it's sometimes hard because we have discussion with people that participate in, for instance, the G20 demonstration against the abuse of the police, participating, demanding funds for your West. But at the end of the day, again, if you don't engage a politician or engage somebody to be a politician for be the voice of the community, we don't move forward. We are only demanding what we need to do. Mm-hmm. So what they think of me, I don't know. I mean, it's very hard. I mm-hmm. try to be as clear and plain and simple as I can be. I consider myself a grassroots organizer. I did that in South America because I know it's possible to do changes. In Uruguay right now, we have a progressive government. And in all Latin America, except a few countries, you have progressive government, where about 20 years ago were a right-wing dictatorship. Mm-hmm. So we learned how to organize under the dictatorship the situation. So I know how to organize. The problem is how the people that feel comfortable realize what is coming. For instance, I am sure that in the next year or two, you will see what happened in Europe with the students, what happened with the workers, what happened with everybody, you will see it here in Canada. Mm-hmm. Just they don't do it because they don't have the control of political process, totally control. But it's coming, mm-hmm. no doubt about it.
I'm sure organizing in Latin America, I mean, for me, I think about Latin America and I think revolution, right? Mm-hmm. is the revolution ready in Canada? I mean, coming from, do we share that that understanding that Latin America, there is that revolutionary movement and passion in comparison to Canada? Does it? Do we have that here?
You have it. The problem is when you talk about revolution, you talk about people shooting or people taking guns and fight militarily. That is not necessarily revolution.
Absolutely.
Revolution is how people take control, like in the case of Egypt, how they take control of their life, doing demonstration, organizing, and being the grassroots. I hear, you know, means all the politicians in this area, many of them at least, they are elected and then they disappear in Ottawa, for instance, or on Queen's Park. They are never here again until the process, kind of the election. Now, everybody say, well, all politicians are the same. Well, in Latin America, we learn it from the grassroots that not necessarily all politicians are the same. Mm-hmm. To me, a group that control who is the politician is a group that control their own destiny. So Giulio Manfrini is not the person. Is Giulio Manfrini is somebody that been requested or took the initiative to be part of the movement. Mm-hmm. And that's the different things that happen. Could happen in Canada, definitely happen in Canada. In your West in particular. Mm-hmm. The poverty line here is tremendous. How many families members don't have no good income, they live under poverty line, they suffer.
Oh, we'll get into
so
get all, into
all this,
that.
All
yes.
This element mm-hmm. is what makes revolution to happen.
Yeah.
So, and we need to engage and need to be clear and passionate about what we want to do. Mm-hmm. That's the difference between there, but definitely in Canada, I mean, we're human beings and we deserve a better society. That's the goal, to have a different and better society.
Right. So what are the things that you're involved in currently or in the past that will support your candidacy, and if you do get into office, will carry on over there too?
In regard of what?
Initiatives, community initiatives?
Well, personally, I think that your West required to have as initiative, you need to have.
No, what are the things that you're involved in right now?
Well, right now,
my
main focus right now is to organize the riding or the your West, a political voice, and identify people that want to be included in that participation. That's my objective.
Okay.
How to go after people or leaders on the society or the groups, different groups, and say, okay, I know you have a particular target mm-hmm. to achieve, for instance, the diet that was cut by the Ontario government. Okay, how we can achieve that? Then I said, look, and that was my discussion in all the meetings I went. I said, you need to have a political voice. Let's organize politically too, mm-hmm. as an umbrella of that different movement. In here, in your West, I believe there is about, I don't know, 50 or 60 groups, everybody working in different directions. There is no, there are strengths in each of the groups, but there is no a coherent umbrella mm-hmm. that put all the group together and a coherent plan to go and say, this is how we achieve our goals.
Mm-hmm.
Being the fight for the diet, the school fight, being any other organization that we have, the demand of respect, the means. I look as an Anglo-Saxon. Okay, mm-hmm. I am look and so. As soon as I open my mouth, the shock is double that the shock of seeing somebody of color, mm-hmm. because they say, "Oh, this guy now, how come I don't understand him very much, or the accent he has, and so." So I feel the racist situation too.
Mm-hmm.
All these elements, we need to change it. I want to discuss from the municipal, provincial, and federal level. Because mm-hmm. to me, it's not the division of government, but how the people in your West benefit from the reality of everyday life. Mm-hmm. That's a different objective. Politically, people look from the top down, and looking from the down up,
okay.
how to organize it.
So what is the platform that you're running on? What's the NDP platform?
Well, NDP platform basically have, and I believe that there is a good approach that Jack Layton put forward, five target goals. One is regarding seniors. The second one is regarding health, how to achieve doctors, how to achieve all related to healthcare to provide to the people. the youth, and in terms of the youth, the students, and so forth, how to facilitate the students to be involved on that one, and also job, creation of job. One of the major problems here, particularly for the youth, and these are not separate, they are all connected. Mm-hmm. The youth of the community, being Somali, being black, being Spanish, being any different type of group, and the community, the diverse community, they don't have job. Mm-hmm. And what happened, then they go and start playing with guns, because it's the only option to have a life. So we need to create situations or give the opportunity to see, look, this is an option not to be part of the gang. It's an option to have a decent life, be good in the society, contribute to the society, and having good, decent life yourself. So this part of the platform that we have. Okay. We have a goal of 100 days to achieve, and particularly Jack mentioned, and this is very important too, because in this riding, the conservatives don't have no force. I ran for the first time last election federally, and I came second with little organization, as mm-hmm. we have right now. So we need to achieve it in the term of organizing better and better for the future.
Okay. So what is your vision for the York West Jane and Finch community? What do you see if you were in power on May 3rd? What do you see for the community?
I will personally start participating with, engaging the community. Means I don't want to disappear in Ottawa. I want to be able to come every weekend and discuss with the community what I need. Number two, I want to start giving to the community what reserve. A cultural center, a center for training. I mean, we have a lot of people that can play soccer. We don't have, the municipality didn't allow that to be happen, or nobody pushed for that one. To give training, to give education, trade for educated, a school for trade. I particularly, I'm very hard pushing the NDP itself in trying to create a targeted, what I call it, smart education, to create somewhere in this area, a university campus where people can study, for instance, for medicine, can study medicine, can study to be nurses, can study everything, without paying, but changing the cost of the study for service doing in the community or everywhere around. Mm-hmm. A very simple means, many people say, well, that's not possible. I say, look, I know it's possible. You have countries like Cuba that do not have resolved the financial situation, means it's not that they're poor, but economically, mm-hmm. the political view wasn't to organize the financial part, but have excellent doctors. So we have billions of dollars and we cannot have education for the youth. Also to work with the unions, carpenter, with the things for educating in trade. We can achieve that goal. For seniors, means I see in other areas like Willowdale and so on, the community center, they're building where there is more financial power. They see the community center are built new, where you have recreation facilities, like here in the library. Well, why we don't have that more? Why we don't have more interaction for the people? Mm-hmm. And obviously, we have one item that to me is very important in York West. It's called community policing. And to me, community policing is not to have police that charge $150 per year salary going around in the community. It's a policeman, but also the member of the community to be part of that policing. So we create job, we give job to single mothers, get job for people in the community that understand the needs of the community and participate in that brigade of people in the area to control, to help. Because it's not only to have a policeman and repress people, it's to have understanding why the youth is in this problem. Mm-hmm. And education means, you know, in Spanish community, about 60% don't finish high school. Mm-hmm. Why? Back home, we all go to the university for free, we go to all education. Here, we don't finish because in the house, there is no coherent economic reality. That's why we need to change mm-hmm. what happened here in York West.
Well, you're speaking to it. The poverty gap between the rich and poor is just getting bigger and bigger. And there are more social cuts coming down from all levels of the government, from the federals to from the feds, province, and municipal. What would be your role in resisting against these austerity measures that will, of course, impact people who are living in poverty first?
Well, I use what I call the 80-20 rules. It's a rule that I learned in business. I am a real estate broker, and the 80-20 rule means that 80% of the people give you 20% of the 20% of the people give you 80% of the headaches, 20% of the people will give you 80% of the profit. Now, in civil society, we have that difference, 20% and 80. 80% of the people living in your West are below the in a very limited income. They don't make the individual in a house don't make more than $100,000, $120,000. For here to have $120,000 in this area is a high salary. Majority is in the 50,000 median, 40,000 and below that. So 80% of the people that have that things get the 20% only of the low end salary. But the 20% of the top get the 80% of the wealth. Of the area. So how we achieve that? We need to reverse the situation. How we do it? Well, we need to start working with the community. And the worst thing, I don't want to resist. I want to create. That's the difference between resisting, fighting, or resisting is, well, somebody else has the power, and I don't have the power. I want to get the power. There is nothing in the law that once I'm a member of parliament, I cannot put a law, or I can put proposal in the parliament, private bill of the one member of parliament, a private bill where I will say this is what we want to have. The question is not resisting. The question is create and take control of the process. That's the point I try to say many times to all the organization.
That's your point.
No, because it's resisting. We are always I demand. No. This is my right, and I want this to be done here this way, period.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So recently there's been some huge federal cuts, and it's impacted newcomers and settlement and newcomer programs. How would you restore that, and what are your thoughts on that?
Well, basically, no voting with the Conservatives is one way to restore. Mm-hmm. We have governments that are supported mainly by the Liberal. We have the person I am running against, who is Gro, that's the member of parliament right now, that she was Ministry of Immigration. And they never did something to put in improper structure financially, so nobody can come and eliminate that defense. We need to restore that money, and it's very simple. Means the major newspaper, TV, say, well, the Chuck Leiter NDP don't say anything about corporate tax. Well, you are giving to the oil company, to the banks, to the top major international corporation, $6 billion in taxes. And then we take that money and put it back where it counts on the community. That's one of the things. The other approach to we have is when we are talking about how to distribute wealth, we need to start talking to a relationship that the people have the most should be fair to that they pay the most. The people have the least should be fair they don't pay the most. Mm-hmm. So we need to start changing this. To me, there are three checkpoints I do with everything. I check if the people are honest, is the people tell the truth, and is the proposal are hypocrites or not in the proposal. Now, our friend Stephen Harper, to me, he say, for instance, oh, we try to help the pensioners. We in the budget, we put a measure to help the pensioner. I say, yeah, that's true. But it's honest? No, it's totally dishonest. Because they will give $2 a day for the pensioner, but still giving billions to the oil company. Mm-hmm. And it's a hypocrite? Definitely it's an hypocrite. When he say, no, you guys want to raise taxes. I say, yeah, it's true, we want to raise taxes. But it's only what his approach is, again, no. because it's dishonest. We don't want to raise taxes on the people. We want to have the major corporation that take the oil from the ground, that take the banks that use the money that we put in the, our own money we put in the bank, to help the community. They don't do that. So, and very dishonest in this approach. But the liberal are not much different. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, so when they say, it means it's so easy. When they say, oh, you have two options, the red tent and the, or red door and the blue door. And we have here a party that have 43 members. Mm-hmm. That we are second in conservative, where the conservative are the first, the member of parliament. We are second in around 120 ridings. So how come there are two things that we had a chance to knock a lot of any member of parliament, conservative member of parliament? So how that behave? Why they don't want to work in a coalition? Why not say no coalition? We don't want to work. Means obviously we have the center left, we have different vision, but we can work together. There is nothing wrong to work together. I mean, to me, it's a democracy. It's a parliament, member of parliament work together.
So what are your thoughts with a coalition government?
Well, I mean, to me, is the people vote the member of parliament. After the people vote the member of parliament, you can see that, and whoever is the person or the group that had the most vote, he can try to form the government. Means, and is that Harper, fine. If the other people defeated, then anybody else can try to form the government. Obviously, Inatia says he doesn't want to do so, so I guess Jack Layton will do that. So to try to form the coalition after that. Even that, we are a very strong force in that regard. We need to start working with member of parliament. To me, for instance, the group of liberals, I laugh because I have very good friends that are liberal youth, and we had discussion in Spanish, but we discuss in the context that you mentioned of the Latin American revolutions and reality. I say, look, what you see in the liberal to support? Well, we are a shelly thing, you know, different thing according to the leader. We are right, we are center, we are left. I say, look, that's not a political party. You need to have a program and an objective and a goal, what type of society you want to be. And the liberal are good for everybody. The only major person that support the conservative platform or budget was John Manley, the ex-minister and deputy minister of the Martin Gorman. So what that tell you? I mean, they are both together.
So housing, social housing has been an issue for a long time. And there isn't a national strategy addressing or a strategy creating social housing as a plan or a commitment of federal dollars towards a housing strategy. Being a Western world country and what Canada looks like globally to other countries, what would your role be in terms of addressing a strategy for social housing?
I tell you, my situation is easier than many Canadians can see it. Why? Because we have been fighting in Latin America for many years to change the society. Therefore, we have about 20, 30 programs that was developed during the years that the progressive government started there. So for me, to create housing is very simple. We have at the federal level, you have what's called the Canadian Housing Mortgage Corporation. So, and we can use that instrument, or even create one in the, at the Ontario level if that's the requirement, is to have people to invest money in, instead of giving to the bank, to put there, so you get yourself to help others to collectively to start building housing in a co-op approach. In Uruguay, we took about we are 3 million people, so we took about 200,000 people totally poverty, and they have the houses right now, and was done collectively. It means there's no need to sacrifice more. You want to buy a house, you say, I want to buy a house, invested either whatever you can pay, show that you are willing to collaborate, like Habitat does, but under a government program, and the government can put a billion, 100 million, so whatever, to start the program. Mm-hmm. So there are many creative ways to do it. Mm-hmm. Means I see differently because I see reality, how we are resolving the issues in Latin America, where we were very poor, and now, it means, although Harper used the sentence, we are the best country of the G8. Yes, correct. Canada, but they are below Brazil, below Argentina, below Uruguay, below Venezuela. We are below all the other countries in Latin America that our GPA, is gross product index, is better than 5, 6, 7%. Brazil grew up 10, 12% last year. Mm-hmm. So why don't go out of the bubble and start looking in other areas how we can solve it out? So that's the problem that we need to start looking how to resolve. Housing is an issue, education is an issue, food is an issue. Means, right now, people cannot even afford to eat. Mm-hmm. So, and this is Canada, rich mineral resources. The only thing that we have in Uruguay is the beach and nice weather, that's all. But here we have resources galore, and still people take it and we don't charge anything.
So recently, the city of Toronto, as well as Huntsville, went through the G8, G20. Over $1 billion was spent, and I think the number keeps increasing. I think a baseball team now is asking for more money because they had to relocate to somewhere in the States. And so it keeps adding up. What are your thoughts on that? And what would you say to Harper's government in response to the mishandling of over $1 million? Over $1 billion.
Basically, Harper came to power saying the liberals are corrupt, and they give money to their friends, blah, 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 blah. He did the same thing. The G20 was the first time in my life that I see the police to be a repressive instrument of the government. I was one of the people being hauled for 3 hours under pouring rain in the downtown. I participated in all demonstrations. And to me, that's unacceptable. I mean, it's supposed to be a democracy here. And they basically keep you in prison without put you in prison. We try to get out, and the guys beat you up, basically. Mm-hmm. Many Latin American people were involved on that one. Many from this community were involved on that one. So we have all this problem. I believe was totally wrong. Means the lie that even the Ontario government to say, well, we give the law for the police to have control of everything. One of the things that put me in trouble is when somebody challenged me, I challenged the other people first. So I try to see how I respond. Totally responsible, $1 billion. This is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So why we cannot have, and then complain that $300 million is too expensive to do elections. It's a contradiction. Spend $1 billion in 3 days just to repress people, and we cannot have election because it's too expensive. That's the vision of what they have. They don't want to have elections. They don't want the political process and grassroots demonstration.
They wanted an election. Come on, with a budget that nobody was going.
They say they don't want the election, or they try to pretend that the election is too costly. Mm-hmm. But they sure. I mean, it's what they are discussing now. What happened in the G8, in Tom Clemente riding millions of dollars in things that to give it to the friends, to make rich a friend. Remember, these are the same crew in conservative right now, the same gang that were here under Mike Harris. Mm-hmm. They cut everything. That's what I remember that we were demonstrating against the cut of Mike Harris and saying to them, within 7 years or 8 years, all your cuts will be reflected in the society. And that will happen. After that cuts, you start seeing more problems in your West, more youth getting involved in gangs, more violence. That's a reality. If you do not invest in the people rebel. And if you participate in war, and you say, well, the best solution is bombard people, well, fine. Then you will think, let's take a gun and shoot the people. They tell me to do that. It's games and everything. Mm. So that's what we have to. Definitely, to me, the G20 and G8 was the first stage to show that we are moving to a repressive Gorman.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts for I'm going to keep bringing it back to people who are living in fixed incomes or who are living below the poverty line. So let's look at the students' reality, post-secondary students who are graduating with debt that they can't get out of, and coming out into a workforce that doesn't exist or aren't hiring, or there's not stability in work, so there aren't any good jobs, long-term jobs. How would you respond to this reality?
Well, the first thing is, like happened in other countries, Egypt is one of them, you need to look. I remember when we were watching what happened in Egypt, you see all the youth complaining, and then you see Mubarak giving the speech about, I am your brother, I am your big friend, blah, 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 blah. But here is the same thing. We have a reality with all the youth in the same situation, and you have the government, conservative, or the liberal say, I am your friend, and it's the only options you have, and so on. It's the same hypocrisy there. What we need to do is we need to start looking at how to solve the issue. But we need to do it smart. I come from a society, as I mentioned, that we don't pay for education. We have free education until end of high school. Why we won't have free education in university level? I mean, we can have that. The society, the investment that you do there will help to create a better country. The problem is because the framework of the society per se, many students, when we say, look, we need to start looking for free education or form something that make it more accessible to the people, to the students, they say, no, it's impossible, that will never happen. I say, no, it could happen. Let's be smart and start working on that one. So that part we need to have. Regarding the housing, the same thing. We need to look at solutions of the problem. But the people need to participate. The people cannot say, oh, you need to resolve my issue. Well, I will be leading or I will be working with the people to do the resolve the issues. But I cannot be alone doing that. We need to do it together collectively. Because I may be good or bad, but if we do it collectively, the strength of the movement will change any politician, being Julie or not. Julie is good, good, fine, keep it there, you know, take it out. If you are organized and you have collectively all organizations moving in the same goal, then we have a chance to achieve it. What happened is, and many people know how that works, when there are good activists in the society, some of the government people and so on give it a job in a community center or so forth and say, don't get any more involved in politics. So the people start talking about politics. We need to politicize the issue. That to me is the key. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unless we do that, my friend, there is no way to resolve the issue. Mm-hmm. There is no way. Because what they do, they divide and conquer. They put water down so people don't respond anymore.
So let's politicize the issue. Okay.
But in the proper sense, in the sense that we decide, okay, how we will achieve this goal. And I don't say vote for me. I say first start voting, second start organizing, start engaging in politics. Okay. Because once you have, I am sure, in your West, if we have all the different groups, we have 400 activists, that participate together under one cause, we take over your West. It means we do that. It means there is no one group that reach every part of your West. Mm-hmm. Here, the last election, only 41% of the people vote. I expected this election to be less than that. Mm-hmm. So means the majority
is not voting.
Is not voting, not participating politically. They give other their life. Means we are becoming a slave again, but no. Without change, but economically. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of movement happening around privatization. Our healthcare is slowly getting dismantled. Rob Ford recently sold property, social housing sites, homes. What's your thoughts on privatization? We're also seeing it in terms of the police. You know, instead of just the law enforcement, they're now doing soccer clubs and girl groups and co-opting, and you know, again, this is taking away jobs from youth workers and frontline staff, and they're co-opting and they're privatizing. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I don't know how clear I can be on that one. I believe we need to have and very strong gourmand, assertive gourmand, but that doesn't mean they need to be a gluted gourmand or inflated gourmand. Need to have a gourmand that represent the people and that represent honestly the people. And so Thomas Douglas, the founder of the NDP, was the person that bring Medicare to the country and fought very hard to do that. We are canceling the right to worker. They right now, TTC become an essential service and they cannot strike. Means, yes, I understand that people that use the bus is, we need to have the respect, but we need to start thinking collectively. No me, I, and myself, but we, us, together. Mm-hmm. We need to change that mindset. They achieve, the society here is to people first, but not collectively, me first. Mm-hmm. We need to change that. So obviously I am not in favor of privatization. I was in favor of what Ford say, we need to cut the extra money or whatever abuse. I agree with that. I believe that we need to respect the taxpayer. I believe that the people should pay the less tax possible to have a decent society. Mm-hmm. But one is to pay the least possible, and the other is to cut the things. But he cut, say, all these things, and now start talking to giving to some of his friends to build some housing and so forth and so on. And the same thing in this riding. I mean, so how many municipal level in the area of Marmoliti are doing working with the builders? I have a case in the area of Weston and Wilson area, the new houses complex there. People are complaining. The houses that they have, they is not finished properly, and nobody represented them. Marmoliti is asking for his in action, missing in action. The provincial or federal member of parliament is missing in action. They don't know, the people don't know who to ask.
Because they're not or even
because
around.
Because they have no representation. I can maybe not resolve the issue, but I can organize demonstration. We can make a thing. I mean, what amazes me in this country, 500 people on the street, you can't change a lot of things. Why we cannot do that here? I mean, we need to start, but again, it's just only making noise and not have a political objective. Mm. We won't go nowhere, we are resisting. Mm-hmm. But we want to be assertive, we want to take control, and we want to be progressive. Mm-hmm. Definitely I support public service, no privatization. I personally don't believe that having a salary from the government of $300,000 or $400,000 per year is decent enough. We are not really producing or serving the taxpayer, because somebody that gets that amount of money is, to me, is an abuse. If you are the prime minister, make $150,000, you need to tell me why you need to make more than the prime minister of the country or the prime minister of the province. Mm. And then we need to find out why the gap between the low salary and the high salary in any company. So I will not give tax cut to any company that the relation of salary between the bottom and the top is more than 2-3 times. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody can required to live in a $300,000, well, the people in the bottom required to live in a $100,000, because how can? Or somebody can live in $25,000 a year, and then somebody make the whole salary in one day. Mm-hmm. So this is the gap. But the people don't have the passion to discuss this. Mm. And even in some of our party, we have internal discussion about this. Mm-hmm. How we can convey to the population that we want to achieve the goals of serving everybody, respecting everybody. I don't want to take money from the rich just because they are rich. But I say, if you make $10 million, you should be able to pay a fair share of that to help the people there and build the people up. Not pull this down, build this up.
Yeah. Well, you know, with the new leadership that we have in the city of Toronto, Mayor Rob Ford.
I think we are in the wrong direction.
Okay, I was going to ask you, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I think the only thing I agree with Rob Ford was to try to maintain the fight that to stop the gravy train, because I believe there are many abuses in the system. I agree with that. That's the only thing. I know he again, that was true, but he was an hypocrite and he was dishonest, because the way for him to do is to privatize the system. Now, if you privatize something and it's the cost is less than what the municipality have, well, there are two factors, because there you have truck drivers and the truck. The truck maintenance is the same, no matter if private or not private. So then it's the truck driver. So for the people, the private company, to invest the money and to make profit on the money, the only option is what? To take the salary of the driver, the worker, and pull it down. So what they are working on is in exploiting the workers, paying less. Because they can go and instead of having $30, $40, $25 an hour, they have $10 an hour, $20, $25, the minimum. And use abuse and exploit the worker. That's the mentality of Ford and the conservative and to a certain degree of the liberal, in my view. Mm-hmm. So that needs to be changed. Mm-hmm. There's no way that private sector can do better than public. Okay. And the reason, I remember about, 15 years ago, they say, no, private sector is more efficient and blah, blah, blah. And then came Enron, came all the other private companies stealing money left, right, and center. So there are crooks, private or public. Mm-hmm. So what we need to get rid of the crooks. That's basically the bottom line. In what sector they are, I don't care. Okay. Because there are people in the private sector that are very generous. Mm-hmm. I know rich people that put money in helping the society. But that's not reality.
Yeah. Okay, so here's my final question. And if you can look to the camera.
I will look at the camera. I'm sorry.
No. This one is speaking to your constituency or to York West community. Thoughts that you would like the voters to take with them to the voting stations on May 2nd. Any words you'd like to share?
Well, basically, there are two things that I want to achieve. Number one, that you get to vote. It's very important that you participate in voting. This time around, we have about seven parties. So you have a very spread out element to choose from. Number two, and if fundamentally, choose carefully who do you want to be your representative. We have a situation here that, in my view, we have a member of parliament that is elected. I don't think as a person I consider Judith Grote to be a negative person, but I definitely is not an active member of the community in the sense that beside the picture opportunity or photo op, she's involved in solving the issues of the community. I never see her in a demonstration. I never see her in organizing a demonstration. I never see her to work toward that. My my goal is to do that. I don't have a $80,000 campaign budget. We are very limited budget. We are talking about $14,000 budget. We are working with a very limited team because we don't pay people to work with us. We only accept volunteers. But I know that slowly we are going to build the community and we are going to build the base. This is not in these elections, will be the next and the next. We are going to win this area. And I ask you think very carefully what you want to achieve in your future, because according to the result of these elections, we can have a society that can be very, very hard for the people of your West. Thank you very much for your attendance.
All right. Thank you very much.